We're either going to be team teaching or else Diane just wants to sit up here with me. I'm not. Praise you, Lord. Good morning, everybody. Tell you what, let's pray before we start and open our hearts up.
We need it if you don't.
Yes. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. And this is the day that you've made, and we rejoice and we're glad in this day that you've made for us, Father. We open up our hearts and minds to receive from you today. We want to be an open receptor to your word. We thank you, Lord, that we'll receive even more than we understand as it comes through, but it'll just churn in us and become everything that it needs to be from you. And when you send it, it will not return to you void. So we thank you that we're not only hearers, but we're doers, appliers of the word that we hear. And we thank you, Father, that there's an anointing on Diane and I to minister this word today and say it in the right way. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Praise God. Today we're starting a series that we've referred to a little bit, and we're calling it God at Home. You know, the vision of Believers Church is what? Growing disciples to build the kingdom of God. And we all, you know, if you think about it, you can't grow disciples on Sunday morning. And to look at the history of the church and the American church the last 40 years, give or take, you know, one of the frustrations, I've shared this before in some of the leadership groups and stuff, one of the frustrations is that we've seen over the years that, you know, kids get to be a certain age, kids get to be teenagers, young adults, and they're gone. They disappear from church. And, you know, it used to take a lot of blame of that on myself and on us, you know, as leadership. But then we have been reading some stuff and, you know, having conversations, you know, about what to do, why is it this way? And, you know, came across a book. I think Wendy found this book that we started reading, and it shared in there about it's not just our church, but the church in general, the American church, because what happened is, you know, at some point, somebody decided, and then everybody bought into it. We did the same thing, is we separated. You know, when you came in the church doors, you know, adults went to big church. If you've been around, you've heard these terms. Adults went to big church, you know, all the kids went to their various classes, and never the twain should meet until the end, and then everybody comes back together, you know, family goes home, you know. And it seemed like that was the right thing to do. But the thing is, what happened was, everybody was separated. There was no discipling going on. There was just a whole lot of information. You know, mom and dad got their information, kids got their information, you know, because it was brought down to their level. But there was no life application. And we have recognized over the past several years that life application is what we have been missing. And so with all that, that's how we have gotten to this point. And so what we're going to be sharing during the month of October is just the beginning, because we have recognized that growing disciples has to go home, you know, biggest part of being, you know, developing as a disciple is going to happen outside the church. You know, most all of it is. You come here to be equipped to learn, and then you take it out and apply it. That's the difference. So we're going to be sharing some things, and this is just the beginning of what we're going to be sharing today, of how to start doing that, how to start living for God at home, how to start, you know, and some of you, I'm sure, you know, 24 hours a day, you're already living for God. But for those of you that don't know or how to work, you know, if you've got kids, how to make it happen, you know, I believe that we're going to start giving you some tools and some suggestions, and this message isn't just for parents with kids at home. This message is for everybody. Because we all are part of being a disciple and discipling others. So you just need to have the Holy Spirit show you how it applies to you and how you are going to apply it. Because, you know, nobody gets to be a Christian just when they come to church. If you do that, you're not a Christian. You may be born again, but you're not a disciple. You're not a disciple. And so that's what we want to be. We want to fulfill the vision that God has given us for this church, growing disciples. And so that's what that's where this message is coming from.
Yeah, and the challenge from our standpoint is that as we look out here, some of you are going to go home and it's just going to be you, and some of it's going to be couples, and some of it's going to be couples and kids. And see, we had a time when we had three generations in our house, you know. So it's different. So try not to say, well, it doesn't apply to me, but there'll be something along the way that'll apply to everybody, I think, if we tune in. So let's start with the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 4 down through verse 9. And I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. So, everybody there? God is speaking through Moses, I believe, and he says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Of course, that's Jesus quotes that in the New Testament as the number one commandment as far as we're concerned. "And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Yeah, I thought this translation was interesting because it says, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. I think it's viable that we talk about this. Diane was talking about, you know, what's happening with kids and then become teenagers. But there have been situations over the years where we knew someone in church. That's the only way that we knew him, at church. And then there was some kind of challenge or whatever, and so we were asked to come into the home. And we found out that they weren't taking God home. I mean, I understand he's everywhere, but you understand what I'm saying? It was something that they did at church, but they didn't do at home. And that's not going to work very well. And you don't want to find yourself in a challenging situation and all of a sudden say, wait, I'm not getting this right at all, and then try to build your house in a storm. Amen? So what we want to focus on this morning, you start out with, is communication, the communicating inside the home in a way that will enhance your relationships with God and your relationships with each other. I don't know where I first read this, but somebody in one of the books that I read years ago, and I had this written in my notes, relationships don't cause poor communication, they reveal it. If you think, well, that other person is the cause of my communication problems, and it might reveal that there's a problem, but, you know, if there's a problem, there's probably, we both need to work on it. One of the things that Jim Richards talked about is he doesn't pray that his wife change. He works on changing himself. And in the process, we make it easier for the other person to change if they need to. Amen? God accepts us unconditionally, and we must learn to accept each other the same way. There's a big one at home. One thing to come, you know, be nice, our nice little Christians with a halo on topic at church, and then we go home. You're getting some pictures there, huh? You know, we need to accept each other at home. And that's going to certainly play a big part in communication because we're different. You know, one of the things that has helped us a lot over the years is learning the difference between different temperaments. We're going to approach things different. We're going to, one, be more right in your face, and the other may be more back off, and all those different things. Or somebody, I know there was a time when I felt like Diane and I weren't communicating very well, and I, be honest, was thinking it was her fault. And what it was, I wasn't thinking about some of the things that she was going through at the time. I think it was just after her mom died. And you know that, just because you're a Christian and you know where your mom is and all the, when those kind of things happen in your life, it affects you. And so we need to be accepting of each other and sometimes move slow or just give a person some time, give them some space. Definition of communication is, we need, always need a definition because I'm teaching. Communication is speaking and listening with the goal in mind of coming to an understanding. Speaking and listening. And listening is a big part. Unfortunately, usually the missing part. All right, now let's focus on the speaking side of this. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you tuned in? Watch out, you might get something. Ephesians 4:29. New Testament. About halfway through. This is out of the Amplified. Ephesians 4:29. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. Can anybody say we've always done that? Again, the beginning, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. There are times probably when that's pretty easy to do, but there are times when it would seem almost impossible. So, I mean, sometimes we just have to shut up because it isn't going to come out that way. But we have to learn to be thinking about the other person and ministering to each other that way and speaking something that's going to minister grace, God's favor in a situation.
Hey, the other side, we're not going to talk a lot about speaking because most of us are pretty good at the speaking part. So the listening, let's look at James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. James 1, verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. In other words, you know, we need to learn to be good listeners. Basically, you know, swift to hear, slow to speak. In other words, God has given us two ears and one mouth. Amen. And so it's probably going to be more of our, generally more of our problem is to the listening side of it than it is the speaking side. We came across a list, I'm not sure which book it's from, but there's basically, you know, someone says something to us, and instead of listening, taking the time to actually listen and go through, you know, we don't have the time, we're not going into a lot of detail about this today because there's a point we want to actually make with this message this morning. But generally, you know, we just do it automatic. We do automatic responses. And so the automatic response is that, and see which ones you are prone to. Different temperaments are probably more prone to different ways of responding. Yeah. One of the things we evaluate, we either agree or disagree. You hear something, you know, that's automatic. The thing is, we don't generally just, you know, agree or disagree. Generally, we open our mouth and tell the person before they've actually, you know, had a chance to, or use words, you know, in the political season that we're in, use the words that are totally contrary to what Wayne Scripture just said, don't do. That's a whole lot of that kind of language is what is going on in America today. So the thing is, you know, it's okay if it's out there. It's not supposed to be in us. You know, no matter what the subject is, the Scripture is still true. You know, what comes out of our mouth is very important. That's a whole another message, too.
Could you imagine a political, you know, one against the other using that Scripture?
It would set them apart.
Speaking grace, yeah.
Yes, it would make them stand out in the days that we're in. Okay, so another one. The second one it says is we probe. We ask questions from our own reference. You know, it's automatic because we're automatically, life is about me. You know, that's kind of in every one of us, you know. And so what's my experience? How can I apply this? You know, how can I take what you're going through but apply it from my experience, okay? And so we ask questions, but not to necessarily help the person, but from my frame of reference. We also, we advise. We give counsel, once again, based on our own experience. you know, this is what worked for me. Or if you just do this, this is, you know, this will make your life better. Instead of actually listening to the person, and instead of actually going through the whole active listening, you know, because once again, communication is not just about words. You know, there's a lot about body language. Even atmospheres. You can pick up the atmosphere of the other person that's speaking to you. What's going on? You know, what is coming out of that? What spirit, for lack of a better way of saying it, is coming off that person? And you have a person who's already angry, and you feel that spirit, and you respond one way, where if you respond to a calm person the same way, you're going to get totally different reactions. So it's, you know, it's active listening is everything is involved. So, and then the last one it says is we interpret. We try to figure people out to explain their motives, their behavior, based on our own motives and behavior. And once again, when we decide why someone is doing what they're doing, that's called judging. That's what the Word of God talks about, do not judge. But that's what we're doing when we decide, this is why so-and-so is doing what they're doing. And so once again, so none of these are going to be helpful as far as communication and growing and developing relationships when you're communicating. Once again, communication cannot happen until someone is willing to listen. There's a book that we have been reading, and you're going to hear several quotes from this book today. It's called Holding Your Family Together by Dr. Richard Melheim. And I have some on order, so next week we'll have them available in the book room. It says, the act of active listening is an acknowledgement that the other person is there and a silent statement that he or she matters to you. The gift of one's complete attention affirms the other person and confirms the value of the relationship. It validates both the giver and receiver and tells the receiver that he or she is worth being heard. Now, what you need to, I'm going to read this again, and I want you to think about this, because it's not just, okay, talking to people that I meet out in public that this is true. This is true. You know, we need to take it home, because that's what we're talking about, taking home. So applying this to your spouse, applying this to your, you know, if you're living with your parents, applying this to, you know, how you respond to your parents, applying this on how you respond to your brothers and sisters, applying this on how you respond to your kids, okay? To the people around you, friends, relatives, you know, not just people out there. You know, we're doing the love your neighbor, and so we're being nice to the people out there. But to take God at home, God actually has to go home with us. And this is, you know, this is the area we're focusing on today. So think of the, you know, the people closest to you, and see how much you're applying this as I read this again. The act of active listening is an acknowledgement that the other person is there and a silent statement that he or she matters to you. The gift of one's complete attention. Not looking at your phone, not watching TV, not being on the computer, not doing a bunch of other stuff, but actually paying attention, 100% focus on the person that is speaking to you.
Now you're messing. Now you're messing with
now
us.
Now I'm messing, yeah. we won't talk about our home, will we? Okay. The gift of one's complete attention affirms the other person and confirms the value of the relationship. It validates both the giver and receiver and tells the receiver that he or she is worth being heard. You know, what do we, you know, our mission statement is love God, love people, invest in others. To love people, you know, what does it mean to you know, love people like God does? Is value people. To value the people around you. And a way that we show that we value people is actually listening to them. You know, I know with a leader temperament, you know, and this is whether the leader is 2 years old or whether they're 45 or whether they're 80, one of the things with a leader temperament is they want to know that you listened. And if you don't, you know, if you don't get the message across, you have listened to the leader temperament. I'm talking about this one because I are one. But if you don't get the message across, what happens with that temperament is they're going to keep pushing. They're just going to keep on you, and they're just going to keep, you know, get more defensive and more angry, and just, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse because they don't feel like they've been heard. Well, I don't think it's just true for a leader temperament. It may, you know, be manifested in different ways. But people need to know that you're listening, that you actually have heard. You may not agree with what they're saying, but people need to know you've actually heard what they've said. Amen?
Yep.
Okay. So the thing that we want to focus on today is what we're calling sharing each other's highs and lows. Or we can say, like, sharing the best thing that happened today, or I'm sharing the worst thing that happened today. Or, you know, whatever way you want to phrase it, that's what we're talking about. And the reason we're talking about this is it gives us a way to develop intimacy in our relationships. Whether it's with parents and child, whether it's with, you know, spouse, husband and wife, whether it's with friends, whether it's with, you know, grandparents and grandchildren, you know, parents and children, you know, adult parents and adult children, whatever it is, because, you know, that's one of the things. Let me just address this one. What happens when your parents start getting older, and I've seen it just over and over again, What happens with adult children is, for whatever reason, when parents get to be a certain age, adult children figure their parents really don't know what they're doing. Their parents really, you know, they just don't have it anymore. And I'm not talking about my kids. I'm not old enough yet. But I saw it with my mother. I've seen it with other older people. I see it in the medical field. You know, doctors don't listen to older people. That's why if you go into the doctor, you need to take somebody younger to, you know, stand up for you. But that's one of the things, times that you see it happening is, you know, adult children just assume they know what's going on with their parents. Well, you don't. You know, your parents still, I don't care if your parent is 95, they still have the right to have their opinions. They still have the mentality. They're still just as smart as they ever were. And you need to tap into that. You need to, you know, it's just, that's a pet peeve of mine. Okay, we'll move on. That wasn't my topic. Okay, we'll move on. Okay. All the old people say, amen.
Amen. Amen. There's some young old people in this place.
Praise God. We need to tap into the wisdom of the older generation, not reject it.
Yeah, my mom is 86, and she said, I'm 86, I'm going to say what I want. So you might as well listen, you know.
Okay, so we're sharing each other's highs and lows, or, you know, like I said, the best thing that happened or the worst thing that happened. You know, some scriptural backing for this is Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, that's one of the things, again, is developing relationships of walking in love, of showing love for others is fulfilling the scripture. You know, rejoicing with people, have something to rejoice about, and then weeping, not necessarily naturally crying, but, you know, taking on, you know, being empathetic with them, you know, and being compassionate and, you know, holding, you know, with people that are going through, you know, negative experiences. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We are called to reach out, to be there for other people. You know, whether it's our family or on the outside, but today especially, we're there to be there for our family. We're there to be there for the people that are closest to us. You know, if you don't have people, you know, a close family, well, you need to tap in and develop a spiritual family. You know, we all need close relationships, and as we're going through this, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about that.
And it doesn't mean to get all depressed about, but to bear one another's burden doesn't mean to get under them and be
don't
sad and you know, walk around that way. But don't be an Eeyore.
No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build up each other as indeed you are doing. So we see, you know, there's scriptural backing for sharing highs and lows. There's not just scriptural backing, well, because God knows what he's talking about. When he says something, you know, 3 John 2, it says, you know, beloved, I pray above all things, you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. You know, so it's tied into our emotions, our, you know, the mind, will, and emotions. So that's another reason why we want to go through, you know, do this, sharing highs and lows, because it's going to help us with our soul. You know, we've been talking the last few years about your heart. You know, your heart is made up part spirit, part soul. To get your heart healed, you know, to believe, you know, to flow in faith like we've been talking about, it all goes back to the heart. Well, one of the ways that we can deal with the issues in our heart, the things that we need to be healed of, is by practicing highs, you know, sharing highs and lows. And hopefully you'll see that as we go through here.
We were talking about this morning, and I was thinking, this probably comes from my own temperament, but It gives you an organized way to approach beginning to talk. Have you ever had this happen as a couple where, you know, especially the wife is the one that's trying to initiate something, so we never talk. We need to talk. We just don't sit and talk. So you go out and go to a nice restaurant that actually has a napkins and all those, you know, utensils and all those things. No golden arches or anything like that. And you're having a good time together, and then the food is pretty much done, and it gets quiet, and you're just sitting there on either side of the table trying to think of something to do, because you're so not used to talking that when you have the opportunity to talk and there aren't any disturbances around you. Hopefully you're not sitting there looking at your phone. If you have an organized way to approach it, well, what was the best thing that happened today? You know, it gives you somewhere to go and to get started. And then when you do that, I think we'd have more to talk about.
Okay. So sharing highs, this is once again from the book Holding Your Family Together. And this is some comments that he put in there. It helps shed light on the experienced joys of others. In other words, you step outside of yourself and you experience what's going on in someone else's life. Especially, you know, how many of us, we really don't know what is going on, maybe not in our kids' lives, you know, especially if they're teenagers. You know, you don't know what's going on in your kids' lives. You may not know what's going on in your spouse's life. You know, you may not know what's going on in the people close to you. You actually don't know their interests. You know, when you've been married a long time, if you can just get into the rut and like Wayne says, you just don't have anything to talk about anymore. And so you don't really know what the interest is of that other person. And this is one of the ways that we can do that, is finding out what actually, you know, excites the other person, you know, the people that are close to you. Another one, he gives insight as it gives outsight into what other people's highs are. Kind of goes along with what we already said. It deepens understanding about what is important to them. You know, what matters? Do you know the things that are actually important to your spouse? Do you know what's actually important to your kids? And I don't care what age your kids are. Do you know what is important to your children? Do you know what is important to your parents? Do you know what your parents are actually interested in at this point in their life? What they actually care about? Do you know that your friends, do you know what actually, you know, matters to them? Do you know what matters to your grandparents? You know, do we actually know what matters to other people? How in the world do you affect somebody else's life if you don't really know anything that's going on in them? You know, and so this is an actual tool you can do. You know, you can go home and say, okay, Pastor Diane said we have to do this, so let's start. If that's the way that, you know, if you're not doing any of this kind of thing, well, start there. But especially with parents and kids, and the earlier you can start with this, with doing it with parents and kids, the better. Because it's there's a whole, you know, if you read the book, there's tons of detail on how this all ties together, but I encourage you. And then the last one, he says, it lifts us to an attitude of gratitude. When you start, you know, thinking about this, studying for this, and realizing for myself, I am realizing, you know, that I've said that I am a task person. You know, and when I'm meditating on this message, realizing that that's my life is task. Now, that's who I am, but that's not necessarily, you know, I have got to make adjustments, recognize, because I get in these patterns where the only time I have a good day is if I get a lot done. If I don't get my list done, and Wayne will tell you, if I don't get my list done, then I'm generally not a happy person. Well, that's good, but it's not good. Because God calls us to people. God calls us for relationships, not just to doing stuff. And so recognizing that I'm so focused on doing stuff, that to just sit and to have someone ask me, what was your high today? I would have trouble saying. And then especially asking them, what was my low today? I don't know. And so you have to look at yourself. Do you actually know? Do you actually know what your high was, what the high point of your day was yesterday? Do you actually know what your low point was yesterday? Could you verbalize it? Could you attach a feeling to it or emotion to it? Some of you probably can, but I would say that there's some of you that are like me, and you probably couldn't. It would take some effort. The problem with that is, when we're like that, we are not living in the present. We are either living in the past or we're living in the future. Where is God? God is in the present. Where is faith? Faith is in the present. And so we need to find out who we are, along with the people around us, tapping into these things, so we can get into the present, so we can, you know, live our lives where God is. Because that's when we're start being transformed. That's when life is going to start. We're going to start getting to the point of experiencing. Because if you don't know where you are, you can't tap into your heart and deal with those issues that are holding you back. So, stuff for you to think about. Okay, sharing lows. And in his book, these are the comments he has in his book. And sharing lows, you know, you may need to start with just sharing highs with people close to you. Because when you're sharing a low, if you have shared, you know, things that, you know, the worst thing that's happened to you, that the bad things going on in your life, you know, if your experience is that anytime you share that with someone, you know, they remember those automatic responses from the other person, you know, every time you share something and they do all these things, they automatically respond. That may be your experience. Anytime you share something, you know, someone wants to fix it, or they judge you, or they say, why are you doing, you know, why are you this way? I don't want to hear this, you know. If that's your experience, then you're not going to want to share lows. You know, if you have any kind of a negative experience with sharing lows, then you probably are not going to be comfortable doing it. So you in your relationships, you may have to grow into sharing lows. Because one of the things he talks about sharing lows is in the context of a safe, loving, non-judgmental environment. So parents, when you're taking this home and you're taking this to your kids, that's the environment you have to establish for them to start sharing. You know, it's that active listening once again. You know, and that's where we need to start with. So when you're sharing a lows in this kind of environment, it gives you a better understanding of yourself and others. And that's some of the things we're talking about. Until, you know, psychologically this has been proven, until you verbalize or write something down, when it's just in your head, it's not that it's not really real, but you don't actually know until you verbalize something. You don't actually know what you feel a lot of times. And that's just not me. That's, you know, that's been proven, it's, you know, scientifically. So until you verbalize what you're going through or you write it down, then you don't really know what it is a lot of times that you're actually dealing with. You know, I've told people to use this tool over the years. You're going through a hard time. You have some kind of issue. Well, just start writing. You know, either get before God and talk to him about it, or just start writing. And you just keep writing until there's nothing in there. And then when you're done, you go back, and then you start to actually see what you're actually dealing with. Because what we think we're dealing with a lot of times isn't what we're actually dealing with. And so this is one of the things that it does, is it gives you a better understanding of yourself and other. The power of the problem begins to lessen just by being exposed. And that's one of the things this does. You know, with kids, not just with kids, but a lot of times with kids, is this huge problem, this unsurmountable problem, and then they tell you what it is and you think, that's not a big deal. The problem is, a lot of times parents say, that's not a big deal. Well, it is to the child. So that's when you keep your mouth shut, you know, you don't say that. But recognizing when you start saying, you know, speaking out your problem, and I'm saying this in this environment, not to just go blab your, you know, just tell everybody your problems, and dude, good Lord, don't put them on Facebook. But anyhow, another topic for another time. But anyhow, when you know, in this kind of environment, you know, when you're sharing it, a lot of times you see yourself. You hear yourself saying this and you wonder, you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was. And another thing what it does is, you know, Satan works in the dark. But when we bring it to the light, when we bring our problems, our bad, you know, feelings to the light, a lot of times those things just start dissipating because Satan doesn't have any power anymore. Satan has all his power when it's inside us. But when we expose it, then he loses his power and the problem begins to lessen.
I was thinking about Stephen Covey talks about that. He used the illustration of parents talking to their teenage kid, and he comes home and throws at him, I'm quitting school. And you know, your response would be, well, no, you're not. But he was showing how to let him continue to talk, because he didn't want to quit school, and he didn't even know what he really wanted. But as he was able to talk it out, he got to the point of understanding what the problem was and could work it out. It was something about his friend. But When we just jump all over that, we don't give them a chance to talk it out.
Because a lot of times what we do at that point, we judge. We decide why the other person is feeling the way they're doing. And if they would just do this, then things would be all better. You just, you know, and a lot of times what we do is we're shutting down the communication. We're shutting down the developing the intimacy in the relationship. With children, it says, gives a child a huge advantage when it comes to building capacity for mental health, emotional resilience, and spiritual maturity. One of the things he talks about is the difference between girls and boys is girls talk more than boys. Now, I don't know how much is girls and boys and how much is temperament. We won't discuss that now. But one of the things I do know with boys that I have seen and with men is they don't know how to express their feelings. And I'm not talking about, you know, gushy, ooh, you know, I've got to share my feelings. You know, this is a God thing. This isn't just, you know, some mumbo jumbo talk show kind of a thing. Because if we don't know what we're feeling, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, every experience you've ever had, good and bad, is stored in your body. It's stored, it's called cellular memories, and it's stored somewhere in your body. Well, all those negative experiences you've had, if you have never dealt with them, they will show up eventually, most likely as some form of illness. Most diseases that we have are because of stress sometime in our life. 80 to 90% of everything, every disease that anybody has is based on stress, okay? So this is one of the reasons why, and the sooner if you can do this with kids, the better. If you can get kids to understand and express a feeling, you know, this, how do you feel? I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm scared, you know? And the sooner you can do that with kids, the better, because then they, once again, what we're talking about before, I am living in the present. I am in touch with me, and whatever it is, you know, I'm in touch with God, and it's, you know, the whole God at home, what we're talking about this morning, is going to work. But if, as an adult male, how many males, you know, you couldn't express your feeling? I remember telling Jeff, when Jeff was a teenager, you know, he went through this stage where he was angry. You know, how many teenage boys are angry, you know? But in asking him, and this is true for most, you know, a lot of people, most people probably, it's true, asking him, what are you angry at? What is this? I don't know. And that's, you know, and there's different reasons why we give that reason, I don't know. Sometimes it's because we're angry at the person close to us and we're afraid to admit it. You know, there's various reasons, but the sooner that we can learn to do this and tap into dealing with those feelings, whether we have to deal with unforgiveness or whether we have to recognize, you know, in tapping, you know, we'll be talking more about this in future weeks, using the Word of God to deal with the things that we're sharing, the sooner we can, the happier, the more successful, the more full of joy and peace we're going to be living in, the more, you know, the sooner we get the garbage out, the better life is going to be. Amen. But these, as I said, this is a tool on helping you to do this, you know. So it's not just sitting and praying for 4 hours. No, this is an actual tool to help you to help you actually do this.
I know that story. Remember, we listened to a tape years ago, and a couple of ladies were, and there was a grandson, I think, in the back seat. She was bringing him home from school, and something was going on that she picked up.
Yeah, he was very, you know, he was, I don't know if he kept his hands hidden or what.
Yeah.
And so, but anyhow, he showed his grandmother or his mom, I forget which one, showed his hands. His hands were all blue. And he was very upset because, you know, I don't remember the details of the story, but he was in like first grade, and the teacher told them to not do something or to do something, and I don't know if it was finger paints or something or other. And he got his hands all blue. And it wasn't what the teacher said that put him down. It was one of his other classmates made a comment about, you know, you're in so much trouble, something specific. And so he internalized that, and it became a major deal. You know, it was something tied in with the teacher. And so it was becoming a major issue. And so, you know, and so it was very traumatic for him. But what they recognized, the reason, point of the story was when the mom and then talked to him and the grandmother, they talked to him, and he expressed it, and they worked it out. It's like the next day it was no big deal, because they figured, you know, he's not going to want to go to school the next day, the whole deal. But when he released it, which works for all of us, when he released it, you know, put off, put on, Ephesians chapter 4, you know, that it was, it just was gone. You know, it was not a big deal anymore. So that's one of the things that happens when we do what we're talking about here. And then the last one, it creates an awareness of what is going on in your own inner life and in the inner lives of others. And that's what I've been talking about. We need to tap in. Not that we dwell. We don't dwell on our lows. We don't focus on our lows. Okay, we talk about the high a minute, and then we talk about the lows in, 10 minutes, and we have to dwell on it. And, and some people are, like Wayne said, they're the Eeyore type, and it's just flow on the negative, on the negative. No, when we express it, you get it out there, and then we go to the word. Then we go to the answer. You don't stay there, because the longer you stay there, and that's what do? If we don't share it with someone, what happens? We internalize it. What do? We go to bed at night. We're thinking about this negative situation, and then we talk about it to this one and that one, and just we focus on the negative situation. It's never resolved. It's never released. Well, what we're talking about here is when we're sharing this with someone, we're sharing our low, we're sharing it, and then we do it with the purpose of, I don't want to stay here. And then we come together. I'm sharing it with someone. I'm venting to someone. And then when we vent it, when it's out there, then whatever has to be dealt with, we can deal with it and move on. That's what we're talking about here. Okay?
But the key comes back to, in a non-judgmental aptitude, and when it's received that way, because as soon as you become defensive or jump on it, then it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, if your teenager comes to you and tells you, I'm smoking pot, worst thing you can do is jump all over them. But that's, how many parents, that's the automatic response. Child isn't doing, because a lot of times what happens is the child isn't doing what it will reflect on me. It's not about the child, it's more how is it going to reflect on me when they're doing whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, I had a pastor friend, and his son was out with some other guys he shouldn't have been with, and unbeknownst to him, turned out in the long run, they had gone in and robbed some place, and he was driving the car, and it was going to come out in the news. But his father was very supportive, and told the church what happened, and supported him all the way through instead of, I could have reacted the other way, and because of that, they kept a good relationship, and he was able to deal with it.
Another quote from the book, he says, in a world where more people are opting to text than to talk, and where Twitters and tweets and abbreviations are condensing conversations to 140 characters or less, the art of deep conversation, deep listening, and deep thought is rapidly disappearing. Now that term deep may scare you off, but we are in danger, and you can read all sorts of articles about this, but we are in danger of losing, the heart of relationships, because this is how it is. It's why is there the cyberbullying and the stuff that's going on out there? Why? Because we were talking about this morning. One thing, it's safe. I can just put it on a screen. It's I am separated, so I can say all these negative, horrible things I would never consider saying to someone's face. But I can say it because I'm separated. One of the things that we were talking about this morning is people that don't answer their phone because they see on the caller ID, they don't answer their phone. They don't respond to,
text.
Yeah. They don't respond to emails. We have become a very rude society. When you had to answer the phone, when you didn't know who was on the other side and you just answered the phone, you dealt with whoever was there. But now we can insulate ourselves. I only talk to who I want to talk to when I want to talk to them. I only respond to who I want to when I want. And I'm not saying that you have to answer your phone every time. We don't. We don't know that numbers, those real long numbers or the unknown caller. And then Chuck says, hey, it's me. And so I answer the phone. But for all those, the area code, when an area code shows up, I say to Wayne, do we know who this is? And he says, no. So, we don't answer the phone. If we know who it is, we answer. But so I'm not saying you answer the phone every time. I'm not saying, to answer the phone when you're driving, down 890, I'm not saying to answer a text immediately, all that kind of thing. Just saying, what kind of manners do we have? what am I doing? You know, if I'm on my phone all the time, if I'm at a screen all the time, what are my relationships like? We have to ask ourselves that. Okay?
You picture whether the two of us talking, if all of a sudden I'm not listening, we're not paying attention, that's very rude, and you would see that as rude. But if we're sitting here with our phones and trying and texting back and forth, and I want to go do something else, I've insulated myself. That's what Diane's talking about.
Okay, so how do we do this, or what do we do? Well, I think we need to start. We need to start, you know, if you are parents and kids, if you've got kids at home, well, then start there. And he says in the book is, you know, there's a lot more detail, but with parents and kids every day, and he suggests doing it at night, but you have to find out, you know, when it works for your family. But start doing this. Start sharing highs and lows. Start developing, you know, intimacy with your family, okay? If you're married, if you're coupled, well, if you're married or not, but you're a couple, there's a place for you to start, is to share your highs and lows. Whether you do it daily, you know, we've talked about, you know, when you're two adults with, you know, you're both working in different schedules, different times, you may not be able to do it every day, but you need to work it into your schedule. Yep. So you're sharing, so you're developing, drawing closer together, growing closer together by sharing your highs and lows. If you're single, find a friend or relative. You know, one of the suggestions he has, you know, call them up at night. You know, the last thing before, you know, you're getting, you know, winding down for the night, call this other person. Have a pact. You know, we're going to call and we're going to talk to each other, and we're going to, you know, finish the day with sharing our highs and lows for the day with each other. And then we're not just going to do that. You know, we're going to pray together. We're going to, you know, whatever we need to do. And then if you have no friends, if you have no relatives, if you have no family, then journal. Because even if it's you, or maybe you're in a situation where the people in your life, it's not a relationship that you could start doing this, we're journal. You know, or sit before God and talk to God and share with your highs and lows with God. But just start tapping into what is going on in your own life. You know, you can't just say, you know, because one of the things it does, you know, we're talking about God at home. One of the things, if you do this, whether there's another person involved or not, you're bringing God into your life. You're starting to bring God into your life 24 hours a day. Not just, you know, okay, I've done my devotions for the day, I'm done for the day. But no, God is there when you're going to bed at night. You know, God is there whenever you decide to do this. But there are ways to do it, and we strongly encourage you. We challenge you to take on this challenge. Start here. Start here. Go home today and share with somebody your high for the day. Share with someone your low for the day. Journal it, whatever. But start doing it today, because if you wait till tomorrow, you probably won't do it. Okay? Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
So be it.